Most of us hear this gospel and focus on the need to forgive others. And that's good and necessary. But I want to put the emphasis tonight on the need to be forgiven. Because the general trend in our culture right now is that we tend to consider ourselves to be okay. Maybe not perfect, but okay. Like decent, good, kind. We're nice people. Now, people who don't agree with us, they're awful. They're horrible miscreants, right? At the very least, they should be canceled. At the very greatest, they should be done away with entirely. But us, we're good. We're good. We're nice people. I think it'd do well for us if we thought a lot less highly of ourselves and a lot more mercifully of others. So the church and the scriptures could help us. Here's Romans 3:23. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned. It reminds me of Chesterton's good quote. He said, "We're in the same boat and we're all seasick." We're in the same boat. We're all seasick. All have sinned. It's why we begin Mass the way we do. I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned. It's not I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that she has greatly sinned or they have greatly sinned. But each one of us acknowledging our own personal failures through my fault, through my most grievous fault. In my thoughts and in my words, what I've done, what I've failed to do, right? It's my fault. That is so healthy. Don't listen to people who say, oh, the church is all about, you know, getting people to feel guilty. Oh my gosh, we're about getting people to live in reality. And you can't live in reality unless you acknowledge what is true. We gotta live in reality. The goal for us, why we're here tonight, is to live in real relationship with Jesus. And that's a good thing. But real relationship with Jesus demands that we be real about ourselves. And being real about ourselves demands that we be real about our sins. Because that's part of our human existence. And there's no one here with an ounce of honesty who wouldn't say yes to everything I've just said so far. It's just the truth, right? St. John writes this in 1 John 1:8. He says, "If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So we have to claim our sins. St. Augustine, he's called the doctor of grace. He's the doctor of grace because he knew his sinfulness so well. He says, if you want to think about the only thing you can truly claim as your own, like truly your own, think about your sins. Because everything else comes as a gift from God, from parents, from friends, from the church. The only thing I can say is truly, honestly, 100% my own, that I own entirely, is my sinfulness. And again, that is meant to move us to grace. That truth might hurt us. Okay, sometimes the truth hurts. But we need that truth because otherwise we won't need Jesus. We won't need him. We'll just occasionally enjoy him. Or we'll treat him like a nice friend who, you know, comes into our lives when we want him to, and he's always a good guy. But that's not who he is. We need him, and we need him to be more than just a good guy. We need him to be more than just a friend, even though he's the best friend we could ever have. We need him to be more than that. We need him to be our Savior. Because Jesus didn't come just to be our friend. St. Paul, in 1 Timothy, he writes, "This saying is trustworthy and deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's why he came. He didn't come to be your friend, even though he is your friend. He came to save you from your sins. So what should that relationship with Jesus look like then? You know, Father Bart wasn't always Catholic, so he'll recognize this phrase. It usually comes up in an evangelical context. We need to accept Jesus as our Lord and our personal Savior. Y'all got to accept Jesus as your Lord and your personal Savior. How's that? That's how it is. We have to accept him as our Lord and our personal Savior. And fellow Catholics, where does that happen best? It happens in the confessional. It happens when we go to confession, where we receive Jesus as our Lord, Dominus in Latin, the one who has power to free us from our sins that we can't free ourselves from, and the one who saves us in a personal way, not in a generic way, just saving humanity, but the one who gets into the muck of my life and saves me from my sins in a personal way. So let's talk confession. Back in the 80s, Mother Teresa said, "America, your communion lines are long and your confession lines are short." If she was around today on this earth, she'd probably say, "America, your communion lines are short because your confession lines are almost non-existent." Do you know that 75% of people who say they're Catholic in America don't go to Mass on Sunday? 75%. So you are in the vast minority just by being here. Where are they? And how would they come back? There's lots of reasons. But one of them is because we've stopped opening the doors of mercy by stopping going to confession. So why would we stay away? Let me do three questions here about confession. Why do we stay away? What happens if we stay away? And why should we stay away? So first, why do we stay away? Well, maybe you haven't been to confession in a long time because there was a thing called a global pandemic that we're still in the midst of and your church was closed. Fair enough. Fair enough. All right, but now you're here and there's lots of opportunities for confession. Maybe you stay away because you're out of practice. And you're like, "I don't even remember how to go. It's been so long." Right? Well, don't worry. Here's a great little guide that you grabbed. And you should take it. And you shouldn't just throw it away. You should actually look at it. And you should pray, "Maybe I should get back to confession if I haven't been in a long time." It will walk you right through what to do. But let's get more real. Maybe because it's uncomfortable and hard. Okay. Yeah. It is uncomfortable. And sometimes it's hard. Name one good thing in your life, really good thing in your life that is worth working toward, that isn't at times uncomfortable and difficult. Name any good relationship in your life that at certain moments doesn't have some aspect of being uncomfortable or difficulty to it. Anything worth it is going to push us out of our comfort zone. And sometimes it's going to be hard. So don't let that be the excuse for staying away from the mercy of God. You want real relationship with Jesus? Then be real in your relationship with Jesus. Number one reason, no question, we're afraid. We're afraid. St. John, in his first letter, chapter 4, he says, "Perfect love casts out fear." Perfect love casts out fear. The perfect love of Jesus casts out the fear we have of being judged, of not being worthy, of being too broken to be fixed. His perfect love casts out that fear. God loves you perfectly. How do you know that? St. Paul, Romans 5:8. "In this, God proves his love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Man, God loves you at your worst. He doesn't love you at your best. He does. He loves you at your worst because he just loves you. That's it. He loves you. God delights in showing us mercy. Now, what happens if we stay away from the sacrament? Well, sin is like poison. And we get sick. Our souls get sick. We can't see God for who he is. We can't see others for who they are. We can't see ourselves for who we are. We get sick. And sometimes we even run the risk of spiritually dying. And that's the consequence of staying away from something we need, which is his mercy, which is another way of saying we need his healing. We turn into people we don't want to be. This first reading from Sirach tonight, it has some heft and some power. Wrath and anger are hateful things, yet the sinner hugs them tight. The vengeful will suffer the Lord's vengeance, for he remembers their sin in detail. Could anyone nourish anger against another and expect healing from the Lord? We could become like that. Wrath and anger are hateful things, yet the sinner hugs them tight. When we don't seek the mercy of God, we can't extend mercy to others. And then we hold on to anger and slights, injuries. And then the anger becomes wrath. And we hug them tight because it's the only thing we actually live for. That can happen to us. Brothers and sisters, look around at our nation. It is happening right in front of you in real time. Wrath and anger are hateful things. Yet sinners hug them tight. There is no path forward that's out there right now except the mercy of Jesus Christ. We need him. We need him. Why would we stay away from confession? I got nothing for you. I got zero reasons for you to stay away from confession. Zero. I have nothing to say about this. There is no good reason at all. Because the thing we need most in our life, which is his mercy, is always freely offered to us. It's a free gift. It's waiting for us. All we have to do is make one decision and say, Lord, I'm going to trust in your mercy. I'm going to come to you and be real. And then the floodgates open up and our hearts are healed. Jesus, his heart has never closed once it was pierced on the cross. It has never closed. His heart is wide open to you and to me, pouring forth rays of love and mercy, just like this divine mercy image, pouring forth healing and hope, pouring forth freedom and grace. His heart has never closed, and it will never close. So, brothers and sisters, do not be afraid to avail yourself of the gift of God's mercy. Don't be afraid of confession. Don't be afraid of Jesus. He's your best friend. He's also your Lord and your personal Savior.